to the intercession workshop, but actually putting the inter back in intercession, because we are showing how we partner, actually partner with God, with other believers, even with the lost, in terms of how we use intercession to accomplish God's work in the world. I'm Kathy Douglas, my husband John is in the back, and I have been crew staff for 39 years. And I direct the ministry of crew called Naya Jeevan, which means new life in Hindi. It's a community ministry based in Dallas, reaching South Asians here in the U.S. and even abroad. And Shashi and I are involved together as partners in this ministry with our prayer strategy, which is called Breakthrough. And Shashi is the author and the primary teacher of this material. So I'm very happy to introduce him to you today. And he lives in New York City, and he's a molecular biologist. So, but he has a very fascinating testimony and a calling to intercessory prayer. So he wrote this material and then just kind of gave it to me and said, can we use this? And this material in prayer, I believe, is truly unique material of all the prayer material I have encountered, because being written by someone from a Hindu background, from a South Asian background, it has universal prayer principles from the Bible, applicable to anyone. But it's got a South Asian flavor to it. And you will see a little bit of that South Asian flavor in what we present today, which is just a small portion of the whole Strengthening Your Prayer Skills seminar that I'm referring to, that he wrote, which is about 5-6 hours of teaching. And today we're just going to get a small portion of that. So I know you will enjoy hearing from Dr. Shashi Jatiani. And at the end of the session, we'll have just a few minutes to quickly look at materials at the back if you wish to. Those materials are more related to the Naya Jeevan South Asian ministry. But without, before introducing him, I would also like to know you a little bit. I presume most of you are crew staff members. Are you all mostly crew staff members that we see? Those of you who are crew staff, okay. And then those of you who are ministry partners of crew here for the Connection Weekend. Wonderful. We're so glad all of you are here. That's great. So Shashi himself is one of those ministry partners. Yes. He's one of you as a ministry partner with the crew. So thank you very much. And
thank you, Kathy, for that introduction. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited that you are here. You know, before we started, I was praying, Lord, fill this room with the people that you want here. So you're the people that God wants here. This is an answer to prayer right off the bat. Do not feel worried with people coming in. It will not distract us by the grace of God. Amen. And thank you for joining. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your redeeming power, your amazing love for us. Lord, as we sit in your presence, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, may your Spirit guide this workshop. May we connect with what you want us to connect from your word, O Father. May we be energized, inspired, instructed, led into prayer. First, as a ministry to you, then as a service to one another, and then also as a way of bringing people into a relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the title is quite revealing on putting the inter back in intercession, because there's this tendency in intercession. I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining what intercession is, except say this, that is different from all other forms of prayer, because you're praying for others, not yourself. That's what qualifies it as intercession, and you're praying to God, and you're speaking to no one else but God. That's why it's called prayer. Biblically speaking, it's prayer when you address God. There are many other forms and religions that do not address all prayers to God. We don't believe in that. The Bible calls prayer conversation with God, exchange of hearts with God. So a lot of times I've noticed, even as I've been in this ministry for a while, that intercessors have this tendency to be a little isolated, to be on their own, because you hear so closely from God, you tend to spend time with God. And There is a very strong vertical component, but sometimes the horizontal suffers in intercession. And we need to understand that we need to put the inter back in intercession to make it biblical. And that's what we'll try to look at today. Intercession is partnership at three levels. The first part that we want to talk about is that vertical component. It is ministry first to God. It is something that God initiated. So intercession is partnering with God more than anything else. And you know, many times the view of prayer in this world and even in Christendom is, you have a need, so you take your need to God in prayer. But we'll see very quickly from the next two scriptures that are here that there's a biblical basis of intercession as something that God initiates and God invites. In fact, it's something that God looks for. It says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and he that is God saw that there was no man. And he wondered, yes, God wonders, that there was no intercessors, there was no one to come in between. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. Sorry, that is Isaiah 59:16. The next one is from Ezekiel. Similarly, in Ezekiel, God says, so I sought. It seems like God is looking for something here. And the divine tragedy is he's not finding a supply for this need in his heart. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And this theme is repeated throughout the Old Testament. And finally, in the person of Jesus Christ, the need is met for all eternity. But until then, this is a cry of God's heart. This is a need that God feels, is to see someone, a woman of God, a man of God, who would stand in the gap so that he would have the basis or the legal grounds to show mercy over judgment, have mercy triumph over judgment. So what does this reveal about God to us? It reveals that intercession stems from the compassion and the mercy found in God's heart. He initiates it. This is a direct outpouring of his nature and is something that comes from him. So first, we want to say that intercession is partnering with God. What are we partnering in? We are partnering in bearing the burdens on his heart to reach the people he wants to save and the needs he wants to meet. And that is why the Bible says, ask anything in my name. When Jesus says in my name, it means according to what is on God's heart. It's not just ending the prayer with in Jesus' name. It's in the manner as Jesus would. And that's why there's this whole concept in James where if you ask according to the will of God, you will receive. It will be done. There will be an affirmative answer from heaven on that. It's because this is what God has on his heart and he initiates it. So if we're in love with Jesus, which each and every person in this room is, and you're raising more lovers of Jesus, then you would care about what's on his heart and you would be the one who would partner with God in bearing his burdens. And like I alluded to before, that the sacrifice of Jesus is the greatest act and the cross is the greatest symbol of intercession. Known to all mankind. In fact, the cross, it says, bridged heaven and earth, didn't it? The cross came in between and made a way for people to be saved into a living relationship with God. I would like you to do this. Quickly form groups of two or three people. This is a workshop, so it's not going to be a monologue. Quickly form groups of two or three people. And look at a scripture from here. So I'm going to number you off. And let's make 7 groups. And so actually, it would be easier if we don't move around. So
twos or threes.
Okay, so what you should do, if you brought your Bibles, if you have it on your smartphone, look up these scriptures and try to fill in the blanks. What does intercession achieve? Okay, we know that it is coming out of the heart of God, but what is it that intercession can do for us? And the answer is intercession can overcome all adversity, sin, illness, and satanic activity. It can overcome every human problem. The scope of intercession is tremendous, but let's find scriptures in the Bible to do that. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. If you have your Bible and you have a partner sitting next to you, if you don't, feel free to move around and sit with someone. Do not do this alone. And I would like this side of the room to focus on the first four and on this side the next three, okay? So people on the right side are doing the three and on the left side are doing the four. And I would, actually the way to do this is you're doing number one, two, three, four, one, two, three. Okay? And on this side, you're doing number one on the right, two on the right, three on the right, one, two, three,
yeah, just two.
One. Okay. Thank you. If you came in a little late, there are some chairs up here. Feel free to occupy them. A little exercise right now, you could join with your group.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you. I have another one. Is this easier?
No, I'm literally supposed to serve.
No problem. Hi.
Since we're looking at just one scripture reference, I'll give you a minute and a half more. 90 seconds. And if you finish one, feel free to go to the next one before the next 60 seconds are up.
Oh, yeah. I will trust.
Do you have another pen?
Yeah, it's a long sentence. No,
for the first one. Secures?
God's will? No?
Yes, God's will.
Healing?
Healing is right. Healing is the word we're looking for. God's will is definitely true.
Healing sounds better.
Yeah, healing sounds better. What's the next one? Who worked on the next one? Any answers?
Wrath.
Everett, wrath, destruction, judgment. Excellent. Very nice. Who did the next one from 1 Samuel? Anybody on this side is supposed to look at that. It ensures what?
Rescue
is a great word. The old-fashioned word is deliverance. Excellent. Thank you so much. Numbers chapter 6. That's the Aaronic. Was blessing. That's blessing. It pronounces blessings. You know, Aaron as a high priest would wake up and do this for the whole camp of Israel. The Lord bless thee. And he was interceding for them as their priest, as their high priest. And Jesus is greater than Aaron because he's in the order of Melchizedek. And I don't want to go off on another teaching right now, but that's a wonderful, wonderful teaching. Okay, now on this side, who worked on Job chapter 40? Obtains
glory,
power, glory. The word is restoration. His life is devastated and God restores back to him more than he'd ever had before. The next one, who worked on Acts chapter 12? What happened as a result of intercession? Absolutely right. Sets prisoners free. And then finally, in Romans chapter 10, initiates
salvation.
And I say initiates very intentionally because the answer to prayer or intercessory prayer does not obtain or achieve salvation. It initiates. Salvation is only achieved upon surrender, repentance, and coming to the Lord and saying, I give up, you take over. Okay, so just because a person's prayer is answered does not mean they're saved. It means that they have now come into a realm where they believe God answers prayer, and that could lead to their salvation. Those are all the fill in the blanks that you already have figured out. Excellent job. Now, we have another thought for you. As you did these and as you looked at scripture, you saw intercession has a tremendous scope. In fact, there's nothing in human life or the human experience that's outside the realm of prayer. You can pray for every human need and every human intention. You can pray for every human endeavor. You can actually pray for everything that God has on his heart. So as you do this exercise today, on your own, this is an individual exercise, begin to list people that you know are in need of these types of intercession. And begin to plan. Now, I know planning takes a long time, but right now, ask the Spirit of God to initiate something about that person or people in your heart, so that you would begin to pray for them in a way that you have not prayed before, having seen these scriptures and the scope of intercession, knowing that it is something that God initiates, so there's a firm foundation that His will, it is according to His will, it will come to pass. Or, if you like, identify a category of persons, okay, in need of such intercession. You could be thinking of people's group like those who are in human trafficking, victims of human trafficking. You could think of these captives that you wanna see set free. Maybe that grips your heart and you have a burden already. You know, I believe everyone here is missional. And you already have something that God has placed in your heart. So would you begin to ask the Lord to help you plan to intercede on a regular basis for these people or these people's groups? Write down their name. Write down their identity for yourself. More than on that piece of paper, write it on the tablet of your heart. Ask God to inscribe it on your spirit so that it would become something that you would always passionately pray about. All right, so that's the first part of partnering in intercession. It's the if you look at the cross as a symbol, it's the horizontal, it's the vertical part of it. It's this, the part that stands straight between God and man. Now we're going to get into the next part. Oh, sorry, my bad. I missed one point. When all these prayers are answered, and people get saved, or people get healed, and people get jobs, or visas, or people get something that they're looking for, do you think that is the goal of intercession? Let's say even salvation. Do you think that the goal of intercession is to achieve salvation for people? What do you think is the ultimate goal of intercession? Any thoughts, any ideas? Yes.
God's will.
God's will, yes, definitely.
His fame.
His fame, we're getting closer. Very good.
Humility.
Humility on our part, yes, and that leads to something that we're looking for.
God's glorified.
Yeah.
God's glory. Do you know that the ultimate goal of intercession is not answers to prayer? The ultimate goal is actually God's glory, because when the sick are healed and sinners are saved and captives are free, and judgment is withheld and mercy is shown, it leads to God's power being displayed, His love being revealed, His name being lifted high, and His word being proven true. All of that together leads to the ultimate goal, which is the glory of God. And that must be our motivation as intercessors. We cannot do it because we love them so much that we want them saved, and that's what's going to make our friendship so much sweeter with them. That's beautiful. But that's not the ultimate destination of intercession. That's great, and God talks about community, and we've been talking about being with each other. But the ultimate goal, above all else, is the glory of God. Even our salvation is for the glory of God. Because we weren't created so that we'd be saved and feel great about ourselves. The reason we need to be saved is because we messed up. We were created to glorify and worship God. And that's the ultimate purpose of why He made us. For His pleasure. Let us never forget that. In this postmodern era, even Christianity tends to veer away from that plumb line and say, you know, it's all about me. We have songs that say, He loves me and that's what it's all about. No. It says glory, and some of that flows out as love for you, and that's your benefit. But ultimately it's about His glory, which if it was at your cost or my cost, I have no right to complain about it. We need to understand intercession is all about God's glory. It's about ministering to Him first and then to others through Him. So let's get to the next part of intercession, which is partnering with believers in intercessory prayer. And it's not all people. The second part is about partnering with believers, other ministries, people on the mission field, people in the neighborhood and the marketplace who care for others, and you know, they carry God's burdens, need our support. And you have in the Bible people like Paul asking, pray for me. Intercede for me. You have people like Daniel telling his three companions, pray that God would give me the interpretation. So there is this need that other ministries, other believers need support of intercessory prayer. And that's the partnering we're talking about in intercessory prayer, in the second component of our workshop. So in this seminar that Kathy briefly mentioned, we do, it's called Strengthening Your Prayer Skills. It's 6 hours long, and this is a little portion of that material that we're presenting today. I covered 22 intercessory principles. But 22 is way too many to cover right now. So I thought, let me give the top 10 on my heart. All right, so that's what we're going to look at, the top 10 intercessory principles. The first one, of course, is interdependence. Staying true to the theme of this week and this weekend. You know, there's a story in Exodus 17. Joshua's fighting the Amalekites in the valley, and Moses goes up on the mountain to pray. And his hands are up, so victory is being won. But as soon as his hands tire and they get heavy, his hands go down, and Joshua gets disadvantaged. His whole army is at a loss at that time. So Aaron and Hur come, and they hold up his arms, and they make him sit on a tablet of stone and say, hey, Moses, we're here to support you. So you see, even amongst intercessors, there's interdependence. But what's amazing is as Moses' hands go back up, Joshua begins to win the battle on the battlefield. And the Amalekites are completely routed that day is because of that interdependence. If you will, Joshua is like the evangelist or the missionary on the field. And Moses is the people who stand back and hold the ground and pray them through. Or people who even go before them and pray over the ground before they show up and do the work of God there. So there's this principle of interdependence, which is partnership with other ministries. Intercessors tend to be a little cliquish. They tend to form little clubs and they tend to be judgmental. I say that as an intercessor who's been through all those sins. We think because we hear so closely from God, we think because we know the revealed will of God that we are holier than thou. That we are even better than our pastors and our apostles and our presidents and our CEOs of missions organizations. It's because we are carrying God's burdens and we are listening. We got our ear to the ground where these guys don't know what they're doing. But intercession is a service. And it can only be done in partnership, which is born out of love. I love this morning's sessions. You know, today you won't hear the word money as we go through this. And that's amazing, right? You can partner in prayer. And that's powerful. You can partner in care. You can partner in support, which means a lot more than the check that you can write or the $20 that you can just drop in an offering basket. because the money will go, but the spiritual support becomes a pillar that they build on. Amen. It becomes a foundation. The principle of faith is so critical. You cannot pray if you don't believe, says James. It's like if you're going to pray and not believe, stop it. Because you're like a guy who looked himself in the mirror and forgot what he looks like. That's not possible. You just looked at yourself. Even the worst forms of memory loss can't do that. You just looked at yourself and you forgot the minute you turned. What he's saying is it is impossible to pray if you do not believe. So if you believe, you must pray. And if you pray, it better be built on belief, biblically speaking. Because only if you believe will you receive, is what Jesus said. So having received a burden from the Lord and having discerned His will concerning it, an intercessor must pray with absolute faith. Now let me give you a little concept that I learned. If I walk into a place where I'm praying for people, which we often do, we have people line up and we ask them what their need is and we begin to pray. And someone comes up and says, I have a terrible headache. Can you pray for the headache? And if I have faith to pray for the headache, I pray for the headache. The next person shows up, says, I have a tumor, fourth stage. And if I don't have the faith, I'm not going to pray for healing. Because it makes no sense. Whatever you do, do in the measure of your faith, whether you prophesy. In Romans, says Paul. Whatever you do, do in the measure of your faith, because without faith, you're not going to touch the heart of God. It's not going to ascend into His ears, and it won't be savor in His nostrils. So why waste our time? There are times when I've prayed with faith and cancer has been healed. There are times when I have not had that faith and I've said, Lord, help me in my unbelief. And I've lingered in that time of prayer till the faith is built up. I've repeated scripture within my heart or even pronounced it in prayer so that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And then when that is in its place, then I pray with confidence. Otherwise, it's hypocrisy. I cannot pray for someone and say, hey, God's going to heal you, but in my heart I don't believe. What am I doing? I'm lying to them. That's not prayer. That's leading them on. That's false hope. And so if you pray, you must have absolute faith that this is going to happen. If I don't have the faith, I'm going to get into a place of reading the word and get into a spiritual retreat. I'm going to get into an extended time of prayer and worship till that faith is restored and becomes strong enough to do the burden work that God is calling me to do. It's a little heavy, that one. Truthfulness is displayed by an intercessor who, in the absence of belief in seeing a need met by God, waits and feeds on the word of God until faith arises and comes to legitimize the prayers. Then they pray. Prayers of doubt do not ascend into the throne of God, and they never become aroma to His nostrils and do not touch His heart. Again, talking about partnership, the principle of service through intercession. Galatians says, help carry each other's burdens. And intercession is a ministry of burden bearing. Christians are called to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I can't imagine my wife starting a ministry. By the way, she's in New York and sends you all her love. Her name is Asabri. I can't imagine her entering into some form of ministry or some kind of initiative in God's kingdom and me not praying for her. Why? Because I'm a husband. But I must feel that for every brother and sister in Christ who goes out to do the word of God. Why? Because it's my Father's work. It's His business. It's my brother, my sister putting their life on the line. And that's why I love to pray. That's what intercession is about. It's about serving others. Principle of unconditional love. Intercessors cannot be respecters of persons and must possess unconditional love. The same God is doing a good work in all. God is not willing that any should perish. It is a divine privilege to be used by God to pray for someone when we are our brother's keeper. Intercession requires a giving up and giving unto in response to God's love, mercy, and compassion. You know, people I like, I pray my heart out for them. But God has challenged me to pray selflessly, as I would for myself, for people I don't like. And I pray the greatest blessings I can think of for them. I bless them liberally. I bless them with all my heart. I ask for not just the need to be met. I say, Lord, do it beyond what they can contain. I say, give them an abundance, Lord, so that they would give to others. I say, Lord, they've been down so far. Give them such a springboard that they'll never look back. Lord, they've failed 2,000 times. This 2,001st time, let them succeed forevermore. Lord, they've hurt me, but I have my peace with that, and we've done that process of reconciliation. Now I don't hold it against them. I'm not asking them to earn back my trust so I would intercede for them. You can do that relationally, but intercession is above that human component of how we deal with each other after we offend one another. There must be unconditional love. Imagine Jesus saying, I'm not going to die for you unless we can't earn it. Intercession comes from the heart of God. We can't earn it. We cannot qualify it like that. The principle of source, so important in today's new age world where Christianity is borrowing from yoga and transcendental meditation. I'm ashamed to say, as a Hindu background believer, the demons I gave up are being embraced by some of my misled brothers and sisters. Intercessors engage in spiritual activity. However, it's imperative that they be sure of the source of their practices and revelations. Be very sure it's biblical. If it's not biblical, be wise and humble enough to not use it. Intercessors cannot borrow or tap into occult, New Age, astrology, spiritism, animistic rituals, divinations, Eastern meditations, transcendentalism, or any other spiritual source except that which has the mark of the God of the Bible on it. You know, people have written books on prayer. And I'm not going to name the title because you know who I'm speaking against then. But they borrow from Nichiren Sheshu Buddhism. People have visualization techniques that are not biblical. You must see it before you have it. Yeah, David said, yes, the Lord has given me victory. Today you'll be down before he brought him down. That was Goliath and David's story. But I don't think David sat there transcendentally visualizing the fall of Goliath. He didn't have that much time. And even if he did, he wouldn't do it. Because he was a man of the Word of God. Principle of confidentiality. You know, people come to us, intercessors, and they share their heart. They become vulnerable. And it's a matter of trust. Someone will tell you that the problems they're having with their husband. Or someone will come to you and say, you know, brother, I'm struggling with lust. I'm married and I have children, but I have this issue. Pray for me. Sometimes we use prayer requests as a way of gossiping about others. Let's not do that. Often people bring their needs to intercessors and share about things that are private and could bring shame if made public. It is a responsibility of the intercessor not to divulge information, not even under the pretext of sharing the request with the other people praying or giving a testimony to encourage others. Watch how you testify. Do not breach trust at that time, or don't go against confidentiality at that time. Explicit permission must be sought before making public the lives and matters of others. Intercessors do not violate people's trust. That's a powerful foundational principle. If there is a problem with that, stop taking requests. Just say, I'll pray for you generally, don't tell me your details, because I am not good enough at keeping your secrets. Because it can destroy lives and families. The principle of integrity. This is very important. Now, and I'll also make a little distinction here. Intercessors cannot be found guilty of the sin they are praying against. For example, if I'm praying for a young man to be delivered from pornography, I can't be doing that on the sly on my own. So my browsing history should be revealed and clean if I'm going to pray for that name. That need, okay? An intercessor who's praying for the deliverance of someone in sexual pornography, okay, the same concept, cannot himself be guilty of lust. This will amount to hypocrisy and lead to an immediate disqualification of the intercessor. Before who? Before God. God will not accept that. Now, the qualifier is this. There was a 6-year-old girl who had soda bottle glasses. Okay, she had this thick glasses when she came up to get prayed for. And the pastor was busy, and I was one of the standby intercessors. He says, Shashi, pray for her. And I was like, wait, I wear glasses. How can I pray for her eye? That's not hypocrisy. I still have my glasses. She crushed hers under her feet that day and went home seeing. Okay? That's not the kind of hypocrisy. You know, if God has not given you what He's going to give others, because that's what He chooses, not because you're sinning, that's fine. But you cannot be sinning and saying, oh, I can still do it for others. You can't do that. This is a matter of integrity. Do you follow the distinction? Did I make that clear with the two lists? Thank you. Thank you. The principle of territory. I'll keep it simple. God will give you authority over a place and a need that He calls you to. If He's not called you into a certain realm, do not enter, because His umbrella protection is not over you. From a Hindu background, let me give you an example. A family got saved. They were idol worshippers. So we prayed for them and they got saved, and they were so joyful in our meeting. But they had other family members who were unsaved. So that night the pastor, and I'm not going to name him, I won't tell you when this was, because if you look at my history, you'll know which pastor I'm talking about. We all trooped into their home in the evening and we said, oh, you have idols all over the place. Let's get rid of the idols. So we started removing their idols from their walls and from their shrines. You know what happened next? At 10:30 p.m., my pastor got taken by the police and put in jail. And we had to go through a lot of trouble to get him out at 5 a.m. We had to pull connections and strings with high authorities and say, you know, he was only praying. It was a permission with of half the family. And the question was asked, how about the other half of the family? You see what we did? We crossed our limits. We exceeded the territory God had given us. If you're called to pray for someone in the hospital, pray for them in the hospital. Don't insist on following them home. Sometimes a church is a hospital. You're meeting all kinds of emergency needs there. When people's hearts are changed, they will give up the idols. And that's better than you taking them off yourself physically. The physical idols mean nothing when the heart is changed. And if the heart is not changed, you can remove them all. It will not make a difference. So intercessors do well to seek God concerning the scope of their calling, and are careful not to tread beyond God-created bounds. And I'll leave it at that for the sake of not being repetitious. The principle of progressive holiness. If you're going to walk with God and carry His burdens, as you grow in the Lord, as you get closer to Him, He's going to keep increasing the standards. Because when you were a child, you walked like a child. But now that you've become a man, adulthood is expected of you. A good example is from Moses' life. He murdered an Egyptian at the beginning of his walk with God. And God forgave him that. God never punished him for it. But way down the line, when he struck the rock twice in his anger, God punished him and didn't let him enter the promised land. This is not that God changes His standards. It's not God being fickle. It is progressive holiness. To whom much is given, much is required. We can't have a flatline graph as a Christian. You have to progress in the Lord, in being set apart for Him. So, in fact, that's a measure of your growth, is when God requires more of you. You get closer to Him. In an Indian agricultural idiom, it says, the tree that bears more fruit bends lower. Bends lower, submits more. The principle of submission, and this is the last one today for out of the 22, these are the 10. You know, intercession stems from God's heart, right? And now this is about partnering with other people. And you could be praying for something for years and God says no. And at that time, you could have a moment, a crisis moment. You could say, God, what was all this about? I just spent 9 years praying for this and you're just going to take it off the list like that? Or you want to see this one person saved that you're so compassionate toward. And they, out of their will, because God has given them, will not choose God. And you've been praying your heart out. You've been fasting. You've been doing spiritual warfare. And they just won't change. That's the time to say, okay, God is God, I am not. And I submit to His choosing and His will and His principles. An intercessor depends on God for the answer, never taking the matter into one's own hands. More often than not, the intercessor is the mediator but not the conduit. Though the intercessor pleads with God and dares to cause God to change his mind, in quotations, the intercessor does so with trembling and reverence and only in response to God's leading or wooing to do so. The intercessor has no right over God and does not indulge in insubordination. We cannot go one up on God, no matter how hard we try. You know, people say, oh, but Moses changed God's mind. Let's look at that story very carefully. I'm not doing it now, but if you go to Exodus 32, you will find that dynamic between God and Moses, and you will see Moses was submitting every step of the way. He was treading so fearfully, and if you really look at the whole picture of what happened there, God invited him into that session of intercession. All right, where God decided to forgive Israel after they worshiped the golden calf. All right, so now, as we go to the next part, this is something we find very useful to tell people, is every intercessor is not like the other intercessor. There are different types of intercessors. So as we go through this, your thought should be, which one am I? Is there one that identifies me? Because if you get who you are, you'll become more focused, more efficient, and more productive in it. Okay, so some people are personal intercessors. And the question to ask yourself is, do you feel strongly burdened for a certain person or ministry? You know, for about 2 years, I prayed for one man of God. And I was his personal intercessor while he was doing mission work in India, an Indian man. Okay, and I would lead intercessory sessions for his ministry, and I just felt burdened for him. Mercy intercessors. Do words like mercy, forgiveness, compassion, grace, favor often occur in your prayers for others? Then your heart as an intercessor is one who's just asking for God's mercy. Lord, have mercy on that person. Lord, please forgive them. Lord, they really messed up, but you're so kind. Lord, you're compassionate. If that's you, then you are called to be a mercy intercessor. That's the tone and the theme of your prayers. Are you a government intercessor? If you are, then are you aware of the names and designations of local and federal officials? People who intercede for the government keep track of who's in power, who's in office, who did not get elected even. Do you find yourself following the news to pray for people in authority? Do you keep a track of leaders' agendas to pray preemptively? If you are this kind of an intercessor, chances are you already knew Donald Trump was going to go to speak at that summit where he met Putin and you were praying beforehand. Okay? And I'm going to just leave it at that. No more politics today. Salvation intercessor, are your prayers focused on seeing people saved, which means you're really focused on the first step of their journey? You know, it's not just about being saved. We're called to make disciples, not converts. Right? But maybe you're focused on just that first step where they come into the kingdom, they're birthed into the kingdom by being introduced to the sacrificial love and kindness of God. Do you have specific individuals on your heart whose salvation you regularly pray for? The word regularly is important. Everyone has someone you want to see saved, but you are drawn to praying for some people over and over again. You'll do it for years if you have to see them saved. Then you are a salvation intercessor. Are you a worship intercessor? What does that mean? Are you drawn to songs that are prayer songs? You know, some songs are just prayers. Some psalms are just prayers, and many songs are psalms. Do you use songs, hymns, psalms as a method to intercede for others? You know, there is a ministry which I think it's called the Harp and Bowl. They look at the word and they sing worship songs and they do all that as a way of interceding for people in need. Are you that kind of a worship intercessor? A very famous one is Graham Kendrick. If you're not from the other side of the Atlantic, then you probably may not have heard of him, but you know the song Shine Jesus Shine? That's written by him. That's an intercessory song. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Send forth your word. Let there be light. Right? That's a prayer song. So maybe you are one of those people who loves to use song and worship in intercession. And that's fine. That is the way God has created you. Crisis intercessor. Do you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for specific needs or people at unplanned times and find confirmations in hindsight? I am that kind of a guy. I got woken up at 3:30 one night in a specific way, which I know is a nudge of the Holy Spirit. I begin to pray and I had this temporary pain in my chest and I'm praying. And then I suddenly get a feeling that it's over. So I go back to sleep around 4 something in the morning. The next day, the sister's testifying in church that she had what seemed like a heart problem, and it was gone around 4:15 in the morning. Okay, that's a crisis intercessor. God will just enroll you to pray for something that you are not aware of. I've prayed many such prayers. I just gave you one of the lighter ones. You know, some of them are very, very intense times of intercession, but you are therefore a crisis intercessor. Are you a list intercessor? Do you keep and follow, not just keep, but keep and follow, a list of people and needs to pray for? I have 463 names I pray for on a regular basis. It's on my computer. It's an Excel spreadsheet. It's color-coded. Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, I know when I'm praying for who. Because I'm a scientist by profession. It comes easy to me to keep lists and follow databases. But that's who God made me, and it's fine to have a list. It's not boring. It's really exciting. You can keep a log of what prayers were answered. And it becomes a memorial. It becomes a logbook of God's glory. Global intercessor, do you feel a consistent need to pray for global events, social trends, governments, summits, religious movements, wars, human rights, and the like? You know, you may not be bothered about your pastor's sermon this Sunday, praying on Saturday night, Lord, reveal your word to him, but you may be praying about human trafficking through Asia. You're a global intercessor. You may be praying about the postmodern trend and what's coming thereafter. I don't even know what the name is. But you feel burdened because we're losing a whole generation of people because they won't even consider the truth, let alone discover the truth. And you are a global intercessor. Are you a healing intercessor? Are you often approached by and see success in praying for people who need physical, emotional, and or spiritual healing? Do you go to hospitals, trauma centers, asylums to pray? Then you're a healing intercessor. And there are many such people. And when I say, you know, healing intercessor, it's not that you prayed and someone got healed once in your ministry of 21 years of intercession. This is a trend. This is a theme. This is what happens often to you. God will use many of us at random times. But if this is the theme of your life, that's who you are. Financial intercessor. You know, I sometimes have a hard time praying for $100. But I know a friend who can pray for $1 million just like that. And he prays in faith. He comes up to the pastor of a church. He says, what do you need for a building project? $1 million? Done. I'm praying for it. And they got $1 million in a single check.
Wow. That's awesome.
Similar man in Bangalore, in one of the fastest growing Assembly of God church in South India, stands up and he says, I'm going to pray. What do you need, pastor? Senior pastor, what do you need? He says, I need 50 lakh rupees, which is a good amount of money. Okay, it's a lot of money in Indian currency for that context. And he says, okay, God's telling me 10 people are going to give 5 lakhs each. I'm praying today. You go to the church and you announce it and 5 people will give you checks. And they did. Those are financial intercessors. Now, the important thing is each has a God-given portfolio and jurisdiction. So see who you are. And I hope that you have been making notes as you follow along. How are we doing for time? I think I'm going really, really slow. Okay, we are 2:18. Okay, partnering with the lost through evangelistic intercession. The point here is make a biblical foundation. There are scriptures that you can use to set your intercessory time. And it's in your notes, so don't worry. And once you make a foundation, then you can begin to pray. I would like to invite you to first pray for Christians before you pray for non-Christians. That's the strategy I like to follow. And these are some intentional prayers you could be praying for Christians, especially in the South Asian context or those who reach out to South Asians. Then you begin praying for the lost, these intentional prayers. Pray for these things, because each one of those reveals what they are dealing with. Each one of those reveals the spiritual component of their lives. And as Kathy mentioned, I'm going to breeze through this one. This is a strategy that she first heard in a conference in Toronto in 2011. We use this as we reach people. Many of you may know it. We talk about, do you have some needs that we can pray for in your body, in your livelihood, in your emotions, in your social life, and your spiritual life? And we use this as a way of reaching people. If you get them at body, don't go through the rest of the list. If you get them, don't get them here. Just go down to wherever you meet them. Every person has needs and you can be praying for them. And this is a way of reaching them through prayer. We'll skip the Q&A and now we will do this testimony of Neetu Chaudhary, which is a very powerful testimony. And And it comes with subtitles. She's speaking to you in Punjabi.
ਜਦੋਂ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸਾਰਾ ਦੇਵੀ ਦੇਵਤਾਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸਾਰਾ ਗੁਰੂਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਪੈਗੰਬਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪੁਕਾਰਿਆ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਬਚਪਨ ਤੋਂ ਮੰਨਦੀ ਆਈ ਸਾਂ, ਪਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਵੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਮਦਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤੀ। ਉਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਤੂੰ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਸੀਹੀ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੀ। ਮੈਂ ਸੋਚਿਆ ਕਿ ਚਰਚ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਜਾਏ। ਇਹ ਉਹ ਸਮਾਂ ਸੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਪਰਮੇਸ਼ੁਰ ਨੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਵਾਰੀ ਉੱਥੇ ਛੂਹਿਆ। ਪਹਿਲੀ ਵਾਰੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਏਦਾਂ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਦਾ ਅਨੁਭਵ ਹੋਇਆ। ਪਹਿਲੀ ਵਾਰੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਏਦਾਂ ਲੱਗਾ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਾਇਦ ਮੇਰੇ ਲਈ ਕੋਈ ਹੈ। ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਵਾਰੀ ਏਦਾਂ ਲੱਗਾ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਾਇਦ ਜਿਸਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਇੰਨੇ ਸਾਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਲੱਭ ਰਹੀ ਸੀ, ਪੂਜ ਰਹੀ ਸੀ, ਉਹ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ। ਮੈਂ ਪਰਮੇਸ਼ੁਰ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਭਰ ਗਈ। ਉਸ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਦ ਮੇਰੇ ਲਈ ਪ੍ਰਾਰਥਨਾ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ ਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਮਾਈਗ੍ਰੇਨ ਤੋਂ ਨਜਾਤ ਪਾਈ। ਜਦੋਂ ਨਜਾਤ ਪਾਈ ਤੇ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਸਾਡੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇੱਕ ਨਵਾਂ ਪੜਾਅ, ਇੱਕ ਨਵੀਂ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੋ ਗਈ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਪਿਰਚੁਅਲ ਲਾਈਫ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ, ਸਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ, ਰੋਜ਼ਮਰਾ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵੀ। ਮੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਹਸਬੈਂਡ ਦੇ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਹਾਲਾਤ ਚੰਗੇ ਹੋ ਗਏ। ਸਾਡੀ ਮੈਰਿਜ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਟ੍ਰਿਪਲ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਠੀਕ ਹੋ ਗਈ। ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਚੰਗਾਈਆਂ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਮਿਲੀਆਂ, ਪਰ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮੋਕਸ਼ ਮਿਲਣ ਦੀ ਉਮੀਦ ਤੇ ਤਸੱਲੀ ਮਿਲੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕਿ ਖੁਦਾਵੰਦ ਯਿਸੂ ਮਸੀਹ ਦੇ ਰਾਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦੀ ਹੈ। ਮੈਂ ਬਹੁਤ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਪਰਮੇਸ਼ੁਰ ਨੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਚੁਣਿਆ ਤੇ ਹੁਣ ਮੈਂ ਕਦੇ ਵੀ ਮੁੜ ਕੇ ਵਾਪਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੀ।
ਆਮੇਨ, ਪ੍ਰੇਜ਼ ਗੋਡ ਫॉर दैट ਟੈਸਟੀਮਨੀ। Neeti Chaudhary is a global evangelist and a pastor at this point in time. Go ahead, Kathy, if you would lead.
We just want to briefly give you some questions to think about and maybe just to give some answers right now in the whole group, not to break up in small groups, but in your notes, what encourages you about this testimony? What struck you as what's the blessing, what's the encouragement for you personally about hearing a woman from an Indian Sikh Hindu background coming to Christ?
Like her whole life changed.
Big change, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Sister.
Yes. I think something that I really like is the fact that because she's aware of even those spirits or deities that she grew up with, she was sensitive to God.
Yes.
And so the things that we think are terrible, God still used to redeem her story. So that was really amazing.
Yes.
Praise God. Of loyalty and love for God. Anything else?
I would just say I think it's amazing how, you know, one experience of the peace of God is what I've heard often is just, they've never felt that before,
yes.
You know, no matter what culture they're from, and it distinguishes the Lord from any other God that they've ever worshipped.
Amen. Someone here had the hand up? Yes.
I was just going to say, I think there are so many stories like this where it's God's initiative, that it's, you know, those who invited her, the other people who were involved in the process were obedient, and the church when she came and stuff, but that God was pursuing her.
Brings us to the second question here, which is, what do you think her encounter with Christians in the church was like? To elaborate on it very much, but you can kind of imply. What do you think it was like that day that she was invited to church?
Grace-filled?
Christ-filled, yes.
Christ-filled,
yes.
Okay, thank you.
I think she sensed that something was different,
yes,
about these people that were not like the people that she knew who worshipped other deities. There was a difference and she was drawn to that.
Must have been a positive encounter. Mm-hmm. She ended up that day going on to pray a prayer of salvation. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened that day in her encounters with the Christians and partaking in the worship there, it must have been a positive experience. So
an aura of love.
An aura of love.
Aura of love, yes.
And hopeful. Hopeful. let's ask this for a reflection question. What if a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist walked into your church? Would they have such a positive encounter? Just a little moment of reflection there. Would they have a positive encounter that would make them say, yeah, yeah, I want to know this God. Let me pray with you. Let me ask more questions. Would it be that? Or would they be treated like a foreign oddity? I've heard those kind of stories too. Frowns and, stay away kind of thing. What kind of encounter would it be? Or would it be, arms open?
Sometimes wide? I think they would probably feel more loved than our own lady would coming into our church.
Okay?
Yes. This is true. Yeah.
All right. Time doesn't allow us to fully elaborate or go on much from there, but I would want to close by asking you to open your folders and take out a little card. It looks like this. It's your interest card. It's your response card. And please begin to fill it out. If you want any further contact with either Shashi or with the Art Ministry Nayaji, if you want any further contact, please fill it out and leave it behind before you go. It's not a postcard, so you can't take it with you. If you don't need any further contact, you don't have to fill out the card. But just fill it out and leave it behind. In the back door, there's a box, a cardboard box by the back door. Leave it there. Leave it on the book table or leave it on like the chair here or the podium here. Just leave it behind somewhere where we'll find it as we move out. For those of you who came in a little bit late, we are Nayajivan, the Ministry of Peru, reaching South Asians in America and also abroad, but mainly in America. So we are here to equip you or help you, come alongside of you as you desire to reach out to South Asian neighbors. This was an intercession topic, intercession seminar, but Shashi is one of our partners in the ministry. We have a prayer emphasis in our ministry of reaching South Asians, so that's why he's teaching on intercession. But if we can help you with your South Asian Hindu outreach or anything to do with South Asians, please let us know. All the materials on the back table are for free, except the notebooks that say for display only. But you're welcome to, just after we close in prayer, just head to the back and quickly look at the materials. We'll have to put away and make room for the next seminar very quickly. Thank you very much for your attention and your patience with us.
Thank you. And I apologize for running over on the second part, because that's what I'm most passionate about. I think one day, God willing, that will be a book, The Principles of Intercession, but, as God wills. Before I pray, I have room for one question. Does anyone have a question that you want answered? Just one question. Whoever puts up the hand first. Yes, go ahead.
You mentioned 22 kinds of intercessors. Do you have a list of the other 12?
No, 22 principles of intercession.
What's the one you're going to give before? That's the one?
That's the principles. So I have the others. There are 12 more, and possibly more than 12, because I don't claim to have covered everything under that scope. But yes, I do have it. You can give me an email. I'll send you that PDF. No problem. All right.
Josh's contacts are at the end of the notes, so you can write to him if you have any further questions, and he can answer your questions.
Oh, I don't see it in the notes.
No.
Oh.
Sorry, we just omitted that.
Yeah, so it's S Jatiani, that's first initial Jatiani @gmail.com. It's just as simple as that. Everything I've taught, I'm accountable for. You can ask me as many questions as you like. Shall we pray? Hallelujah. God, I'm just amazed at the passion and the experience around that I see in this room. I know, Lord, there are years of labor and ministry and prayer and bended knees and broken hearts and tears, oh God, lifted up hands and fasts that are right here in this room, Lord, and the people that you've gathered here today. And yet they've come to learn of you. So I pray that you bless them. Each and every one. Energize them, Spirit of God. And make our prayers effective, so that souls would be saved amongst the South Asians and amongst every tribe, tongue, and nation, for the glory of God our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.